Well, something good to see everyone. We appreciate your presence here tonight, and if you are visiting with us, we thank you for coming and blessing us with your presence here this evening. We have a saying, seeing is believing, and that's pretty well the opposite of what we find here in Hebrews chapter 11. Here, seeing comes on one level, and faith comes on another level. And if anything, what we do not see is more certain through the faculty of faith than what we do see through the organ of the eye. Here is an invisible world, which is the only real world. Everything around us, we're taught by our whole culture to depend on what we see. Power, wealth, might, pleasure, those are the things that we need to trust. But all of that, the Bible reminds us, is temporary. And the writer is reminding us of another level, which is the invisible. And so here he begins with what we would call a definition of faith, which I mentioned this morning, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance is a word meaning literally substructure, to stand under, as if it were a foundation of a building, that which stands beneath. And so faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Things in the future are really there. It's the conviction we have that things we do not see are more real than the things that we do see. And he illustrates that in verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's an explanation of how the world came into being, and that we would never know through sight alone. It has to be given us by faith. Then he goes on to describe faith as the intellectual conviction in verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now that's a two-sided proposition. We must, first of all, believe that God is, that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him, who diligently seek him. So the writer of Hebrews has established faith as a principle for life. He's defined it in verse 1. He has given it as a requirement for pleasing God with those two prongs. We must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him. And the rest of the chapter is taken up with examples of faith. So let me suggest to you tonight a number of things that faith does. Number one, faith gives one a certain attitude toward life. A certain attitude toward life. Look at verse 13. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These people counted themselves strangers and exiles in this world. They had a certain attitude toward life. And that is, we don't have any continuing permanent city here. We're looking for a city beyond which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. So faith gives us a certain attitude toward life. But number two, faith leads one to obey God absolutely. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, that takes you back to verse 1, doesn't it? It is the conviction of things not seen. So by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now Noah must have seemed the world's most foolish man when he started building the ark. And yet Noah worked over a period of time to construct the ark because he trusted God. He trusted what he didn't see more than what he did see. And I think that same principle is illustrated in verses 17 through 19, this idea of obedience to God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received them back as a type. Faith leads us to trust God absolutely and to obey what God has told us to do. That's what Noah did, and of course that's what Abraham did. Number three, faith leads one to venture forth for God. To go out when God says, go. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Abraham wound up traveling some 500 miles from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. He lived in tents. He went from place to place. But because God told him to go out to a place which would be received as an inheritance, he went out. And I've always found it striking here in verse 8 that he went out not knowing where he was going. That would be awfully difficult for me. I would, of course, Abraham couldn't have asked God for the GPS at that day and time, but I would, "Alan, I want you to go to a place." And I would say, "Well, God, can you provide for me a GPS so I know exactly where you want me to go?" But here, by faith, Abraham went out to a place, but he didn't know where he was going. But he trusted and he believed that God would lead him. And of course, that's exactly what God did. A little later, Moses comes as an example of this idea of venturing forward for God. Look at chapter 11, beginning at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. So Moses, born in slavery, preserved, adopted as a prince, grew up in Pharaoh's household. He could, I suspect, live like a prince. He could have had all the pleasures of life satisfied had he had that particular desire. But Moses left it all behind, and he ventured forth for God. So faith enables one, it leads one to venture forth for God, to go out there where God says, go. Perhaps sometimes that may lead some of us out of our comfort zones to go out there where God wants us to go. I think faith also enables one to believe in the possibility of the impossible. Chapter 11 again, verse 11. This is about Sarah. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Back in Genesis 18, verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah believed that God could bring about the impossible. She laughed at first, as well as Abraham laughing. Sometimes we forget that. We always think about Sarah laughing, but Abraham laughed before Sarah laughed when he was told that news. But she ultimately accepted the promise. So I could understand, at least at that day and time, a 90-year-old saying you're going to have a son, thinking that's pretty fun. I got a kid today out of Francis. He's over there talking to her, and Francis, happy birthday. And she said, but Alan, could you help me get a boyfriend? I said, what the hell? Francis, I'll do what I can. Are you looking for a little younger man, maybe one in his 90s? So almost was thinking of this passage here, you know, whoa, whoa, that's a tough one. I tried not to laugh, but anyway, that would be rather a challenge. But here, Sarah, I think, becomes an example here of faith. One of the women examples that is given here in Hebrews chapter 11. But then number six, faith enables one to throw in his lot with the people of God, with the big battalions all seem to be on the other side. Look at chapter 11 and verse 31, and this is the example of Rahab. By faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Rahab's faith enabled her to cast her lot with the people of God, when I'm sure from a worldly perspective it looked like all the odds seemed to be on the other side. But apparently she believed and had been aware of some of the past that God, how God had acted on the behalf of his people, and she chose to be with the people of God. And then faith gives the ability to produce acts of heroism in a person's life. Look at verse 32 as the writer brings this chapter to a close. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, From weakness we're made strong. We can't lie in war. Put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Some sources tell us that perhaps Isaiah was that prophet who was sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. So faith gives one the ability to produce acts of heroism in a person's life. And I would call some of those things that we just read from Hebrews chapter 11 certainly could be called acts of heroism. Faithfulness. Steadfastness. After the example of the Old Testament characters, gives one a different attitude toward life. It leads one to obey God absolutely. It really motivates one to venture forth for God, to believe in the possibility of the impossible, to cast our lot in with the people of God when all the big battalions seem to be on the other side. And it gives strength to produce acts of heroism which endure whatever the odds. John Bunyan would sometimes, in the 17th century, when he was in prison, preaching without a license in England, he would think of how it all was going to end. And one day he thought of himself climbing a ladder and getting on a scaffold, and he said, "I will, if need be, jump blindfold into eternity." Thinking of falling from the scaffold blindfolded. But that's the way he would enter into eternity. "Lord Jesus, if thou wilt catch me, do," he said. "But if not, I will venture for thy name." Well, I think that pretty well captures what Hebrews 11 is all about. Venturing forth for his name. A willingness at whatever cost to go forth for him. That's the stuff that real life is made of. Have you put into practice in your life? These men and women are powerful examples of faith. And they motivate us. They inspire us. And some people believe that when the writer opens Hebrews chapter 12, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and some even speculate that perhaps the writer is thinking about all those examples of faith that he has just given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. That we are surrounded, that they, in a sense, are surrounding us, looking at us, cheering us on as we go about running the Christian race. Faith. The assurance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And without it, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him. If you need to put your faith into practice tonight, in terms of initially coming to Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, I hope that you will do that. Faith, remember, faith saves when faith obeys. That, to me, is the overriding principle of Hebrews chapter 11. somebody called them. The trucker was saved, the heroes were saved, one writer called them survivors of the fall. Survivors of the fall. Because many times they were not really able to see clearly what God had in mind for them. But if you need to come tonight, we hope that you will. If you desire the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. So if we can help you this evening, would you please let us know as we stand together and sing our song with encouragement.